All right, thank you, sir. Go ahead and take out your Bibles. Genesis chapter 12 tonight. Genesis chapter 12, we'll read a couple of verses here. And then we will get into our message for the evening. Always very entertaining to watch the scavenger hunt game unfold. Some of you during this game come to life and do things that I've never seen you do before. It's always very entertaining to watch. Genesis chapter 12. Hopefully you've found it. If you don't have your Bible tonight, hopefully you're close to somebody who does. You can look on, and hopefully they are nice enough to share with you so that all eyes can be on the Word of God tonight. This is important. Genesis chapter 12. All right, now notice with me the first couple of verses. Let's see what the Bible says here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How many of you understand or feel like you could give me a definition of a reservoir? Kind of a fun word to say, reservoir. In maybe the simplest terms, who can give me a definition of maybe what a reservoir is? All right, Karen, yours was one of the first hands I saw. What would you say?
It's kind of like a state, like set apart storage of pure water.
Okay, all right. Storage of water. We could say a collecting point of water. You could say maybe a pond. You could say a lake. The largest reservoir I think that I've ever seen in terms of a collecting place for water was when we were out west in 2009. I was traveling with a musical group. We were visiting different churches out there, and we would sightsee along the way. And wow, we did a lot of it that summer. But one of the places that we went to was Yellowstone National Park. Now, how many of you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Is that not an amazing place? Is that not an amazing place? You know, there's on mission trips and whatnot, we see a lot of beautiful places, but I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot that can rival the diversity in America as far as beauty goes. And one of the diverse elements of this great country is Yellowstone National Park, and I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go out there one day, to do it. It's beautiful. I remember as we entered the park and as we're, you know, noticing the scenery, the trees, the mountains, and whatnot, you eventually come to what they call Yellowstone Lake. Now, this is not just any old lake, okay? It's about 20 miles long and 15 miles wide. It is massive. And as you, the road sort of kind of goes along its banks at certain points, it's just beautiful to look at. It's amazing on a clear day in Yellowstone to look out across the water and to see the mountains in the backdrop. Truly one of the most fascinating displays of God's creation that I've seen and witnessed. But nonetheless, for all practical purposes, that body of water right there is nothing more than a collecting point for water for the surrounding mountains and streams that flow into it. It's a reservoir. It collects water. If we talk about a river, we understand, or a channel, we understand we're talking about something that is different, very different than a reservoir. Okay? What is the main difference when we talk about a channel or a river in simple terms here? Who can help me out? Ooh. Maybe more complex than I realized. Okay, yes, ma'am, right here. Okay, yeah, right? So it's taking water from one place and moving it into something else, which would be service to maybe a lake or something else. Okay, so the difference here between a reservoir and a river is a reservoir is a collecting point, and a river moves things. It moves water from one place to another place. And tonight, this is what I want to talk to you about, and that is this, is that God wants each of us to be a river of blessing and not a reservoir, a collecting point for blessings. I want to talk about that tonight because I think this is a very important concept that we do see over and over in the Scriptures. Notice our verse and text yet again. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Notice verse 2 especially, because this is one of the major promises that God has given to Abraham and to his people to make of them a great nation. And he gives it to them, but there's some final words in verse 2 that we cannot skip over, and that is this. Look at it again. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be what? A blessing. I find it no coincidence that as the Lord is describing to Abraham the extent to which he is going to bless Abraham and his people after him, he includes in this, I will bless you so that you can bless others. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, being a river of blessing. Let's ask for God's help. Lord, I understand tonight that I am competing this evening, Lord, with, about 57, 58 different thought processes. Lord, different minds. Lord, we understand that there are things, Lord, that are pulling us in different directions. But Lord, we know that, Father, your Spirit would have all of us harness our thinking and completely zero in on your word this evening. Lord, there's not a person in this room tonight that doesn't need to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you would feed the spiritual needs here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind yourself, Father, that you would give me the words to say, and Lord, keep me from saying those things that don't need to be said in our limited time together. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory in your precious name. Amen. Before I give you some principles here of how you can be a river of blessing, there's three simple truths that I want to notice about God's blessing. And the first one is this. Number one, it very simply, God blesses you. God has blessed you. Okay? No matter how you want to slice it, no matter who you are in this room, the God who created everything has blessed you as an individual. Let me give you some verses in terms of maybe you're someone here tonight or you know someone who doesn't know God in terms that they haven't accepted Him, they don't acknowledge Him as the Creator God that He is. You say, Brother Scott, how has God blessed that individual? Well, let me give you some verses in regards to that. Listen closely. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 says this, "For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." God blesses both saved and unsaved individual. Notice this, He uses blessing and goodness to lead people to Him. It's one of the ways that He leads people to salvation. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, knowing this, that the goodness of God or His blessing leadeth people to repentance. Beyond this, he's patient and merciful. Lydia talked a little bit about that tonight. And he's patient to those who would slight him or to put him off, those who refuse him. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. No matter how you slice it, for any person who has rejected God, no matter who they are a recipient of God's blessing, simply based upon the fact that He has allowed them to continue as a God-rejecting individual. He has given them the breath to take the next one tonight. He's given them the mercy that continues to draw them, hopefully, to a point of repentance. God blesses unsaved people, and the Scriptures teach that. Even unsaved man cannot stand before God and deny His blessing. Number two, though, for most of us in this room, God blesses His children, those who have accepted Him as their personal Savior. And if you're a Christian and you're in this room tonight, you're subject to the promises and blessings that we find in the Word of God. Now, I love this, and certainly not all of them apply to us because some of them apply to different groups of people. And in the case of Abraham, we're talking about a blessing that applied to him, him and the Jews, okay? But someone has found that there are over 3,000 promises in all of Scripture. That is a staggering statistic. And that would be a neat thing to track sometime when you're doing your devotions, to track the different promises and blessings that God gives to Christians and to his people, the Jews. Those are fascinating things. But regardless, if you are in this room tonight and you're a Christian, God has blessed you and promised his blessing in different facets. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Listen, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God blesses those who trust him. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 84 and verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. I love this. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. What a promise tonight. If you are walking with the Lord, if you are walking in righteousness and have your eyes fixed upon him, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. What a promise. I love the words of Psalm 37 verse 25. I've been young, and now I'm old, David talking here, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, because of the Lord's blessings in the life of the believer. And you know what? God blesses unsaved people. He certainly does, in spite of their deserving it. And God certainly blesses us as Christians in spite of us, whether we deserve it or not. One of the first steps in being a blessing to others, that river of blessing, is first understanding how God has blessed us, how he's blessed us financially, how he's blessed us corporately. He's given you maybe friends, how he's blessed you physically. If you have energy tonight, realize that you have something physically that many people all around the world do not even have. How God's blessed you specifically and especially in regards to the specific gifts that he's given you. No, God doesn't owe us anything, but he grants us daily breath and daily blessings that for us as Christians should not go unnoticed. Listen, if you are going to be a river of blessing, the first thing that you need to realize is that how God has greatly blessed your life. And he certainly has. Second truth, let me give it to you here. God has blessed you. Number two, God blesses you so you can bless others. God blesses you so that you can bless others. We certainly see that here in the life of Abraham as we've read these verses. But listen a couple of verses here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same. Whoa, how about that? Wow, we got the Spirit moving tonight. Usually about this time I start looking at Tillman because I've been the recipient of some of his blessings along the way. All right, let me find our spot here. Tillman's a good guy. I don't mean to cast doubts on his integrity. All right, God blesses you. Hey, listen, God blesses you so that you can bless other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. And listen to this, who comforteth us in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we with ourselves are comforted of God. The fact remains, God blesses you, and we see that throughout Scripture so that we can pass on that blessing to other people. I love these words by John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, spent a number of his years in prison for his preaching out of the Bible. But notice that his words here, you've not lived today until you've done something for someone who could never repay you. That's quite a perspective there. And I think that he understood this principle of the fact that God blesses us so that we can bless others. I'm moving quickly and I know that. Let me give you the third thing because I want to get to the core of this, which is how you can be a blessing to other people. So number one, God has blessed you. Realize that tonight. It's important. Number two, understand this, that God blesses you so that you can bless other people. And number three, it's important that we also include in this what the Lord teaches concerning how God withholds blessing when we fail to be that channel or that river that he commands us to be. Let me give it to you one more time. God withholds blessing when we fail to be a channel or a river. Let me give you these verses, and the Word of God is really what's most important here tonight. But listen to these words, Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For, listen to this, for the same measure that ye meet, or in other words, that you give, withal it shall be measured to you again. So what God is saying here is that as you are blessed, and as you then have an opportunity to be a blessing to other people based on how you bless others, will God then reward you with more blessing or with less blessing? And that's where our principle comes in. God withhold blessing when we fail to be that river or that channel to other individuals. If God is not blessing your life, it could be because you have become a gathering point and not a river. You know, it's so easy in our materialistic society that we live in, and especially in Northern Virginia, to live life sort of like this. I mean, it is. We live in an area that's one of the most wealthy places on the planet. You know, people amass wealth and work jobs, great paying jobs that they use to build up their wealth. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying wealth is wrong. But if we're not careful, we begin to have a worldview that has this type of mentality of, hey, I live to get and to fill my own coffers. Remember what Jesus said about the rich man who had so much wealth that he went and he said, hey, my barns are full, so what am I going to do? Now I'm going to build more barns. And he continues to do that. And the Lord basically says and uses that parable to get his disciples to understand that this life is not about the things that we amass for ourselves, but rather it's the things that we lay up treasures in heaven. And how do we do that? By not being a collecting point for things, but rather being a river or a channel whereby we can bless other people. So, listen, God wants you and I to be a river, not a collecting point. Let me give you three ways tonight, three ways that you can do that in your life. Go with me to Genesis 39. You're already in Genesis, but I want you to go towards the end of the book here. Genesis 39, and I'm going to use, as we have some early part of last fall, we looked to Joseph on some things, and I really think that his latter life, we can see this as he got older, especially in the way that he was a channel or a river of blessing in the lives of other people. Notice Genesis chapter 39. I want to show you the first principle that we can see here, three ways that you can be a river of blessing in 2019. Notice with me here, Genesis chapter 39. Notice with me verse 2. I love this. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You see, the first thing that you and I have to understand is this. If we want to be a channel of blessing to other people, the first thing that you and I have to do is we have to feed our heart. We have to do it. Joseph was in a position that he understood that if he was going to be a help to anybody, even the closest individuals to him, he was going to have a relationship with God that allowed him to be a blessing. You know, sometimes we don't have the eyes for other people that we should because we're not listening for God. There's nothing in our hearing that is even attuned to the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's because we put him off. Maybe there's some areas of our lives that we're being disobedient, and so that voice of the Holy Spirit, whom we have in our heart, has become dull in our hearing. And so we continue to go our own way, and maybe we adjust to His voice, and we just kind of tune Him out a little bit. That is a real danger for any Christian. And so many times when we have that perspective or that thought process, we're not going to be the conduit of God's blessing that we should because we can't hear Him. Joseph understood that, hey, if I'm going to be a blessing to the people around me, I need to have the Lord's presence in my life. And that's what Genesis 39 says. It says the Lord was with Joseph. I want to show you another passage, though, that I think is a great help as well. Turn to Psalm 67. Keep a finger there, if you would. Keep a finger in Genesis 39 and go with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. I love the book of Psalms. So many good things in here. Psalm 67. Notice with me a few verses. Notice here the psalmist is speaking to the Lord. He says this, God be merciful, verse 1, unto us, and bless us. He's asking for God's blessing. And he says, and cause his face to shine upon us. What is the psalmist saying here? He says in verse 2, that thy way may be known. What is he asking for? He's asking, Lord, I want your presence in my life. You know, one of the things that I think about quite often is this, is I think about each one of you. And there were several times over the break where I was going through my prayer list in my mind, and I was going through and seeing each of you in my mind, and I was praying for you and asking the Lord to give you a great break and give you a good start to the year. And you know, as I was doing that and working down through, you know, I began to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be able to be a blessing to them as much as I possibly can. And let me tell you, there's not a message that I don't think about that before I get up here. Because I know that if my heart is not right with God, if I've got bitterness in my life or I've got something between myself and the Lord, I'm not going to be able to be a conduit as the Lord wants me to be in order to give you truth as He's commanded me to. But you know, the same principle applies to every single one of us. If you want to be a blessing to the people around you, if you want to be the blessing to the people in your class or in your home, it has to start with your relationship with God. Because if that's not healthy, the process of being a blessing, a river of blessing, is not going to be either. Joseph started with this, and that was, in order for him to be a blessing, it had to start with him feeding his personal heart. And God gave him opportunities because of it. Notice, turn back to Genesis chapter 39 with me. Notice the second principle here. We'll actually look at Genesis 42 a few chapters later. Genesis 42, we see things that are developing here. So feed your heart. You want to be a blessing in 2:19. You want to be a conduit of God's blessing in other people's life. Feed your heart. Notice Genesis chapter 42. Read a few verses here in verse 1 to get the context of what's happening. Genesis 42 says this, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. Verse 3 of chapter 42. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with the brethren, for they said, let peradventure mischief befall him. Verse 5. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. And the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now verse 6. Notice this. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came, bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Verse 8, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Many of us who are familiar with the story of Joseph understand what's happening here. Joseph's brother treated him inhumanely. Okay, they did things to him that will never even be done to us in our lifetime. It was a terrible thing by far. But as the story develops and as he's in a position now to retaliate against his brothers who caused him such harm, such heartache, and really changed his life forever, he's in that position. And as we know, and we could find as we read further, that he's not going to use this opportunity to gain revenge, but rather he's going to bless his family by forgiving them. And that's the second thing. Feed yourself. Feed your spiritual heart. You want to bless other people? You want to be that channel? Feed your heart. But number two, feed your family. And really what I mean by this is the fact that who is it that is on the front lines of your life in terms of blessing? Who is it that you are around probably more than anyone else? And that, of course, is your family. It is in your home. And notice Joseph here, what is he doing? He's granting forgiveness. And you know what? Understand this, that blessing other people does not always mean I'm going to walk up to Micah and give him $10 and here, I just blessed you, Micah. Okay, now wouldn't you like that? Yeah, who wouldn't? Okay, but blessing is not always monetary substance. Okay, which reminds me, Tillman, did you ever get that 20 back from Brother Chase? Wow, what a blessing for Brother Chase, right? Okay, it's not always monetary substance. Okay, blessing can be many different things. But sometimes we just think, well, I can't be a blessing because I have no money or I don't have a job. Okay, understand that Joseph here is reaching a level of love and blessing for his family that many times goes beyond what you and I would be capable of. Now, he did it with the Lord's help, obviously, but you and I can do the same thing. You know what? You live with imperfect people. How many of you say, Brother Scott, do I ever? I know that, okay? All right? Your brothers and sisters are imperfect, okay? Your parents, believe it or not, they are imperfect as well. Staggering, you are imperfect. I know. You're hearing it just for the first time tonight. I hate to break that to you, but it's the truth. Hey, listen, you know what? You can bless your family by having an attitude of forgiveness. You know, there may be somebody in this room tonight that you say, well, there's a family member, maybe that immediate or extended, that has hurt me very deeply. You know, you can bless your family by just choosing to forgive, like Joseph did. You say, well, you don't know what they did to me, and they haven't come back, and they haven't apologized. And, you know, there may be a conversation that needs to take place between you and that individual. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that sometimes it's just, you just need to say, you know what? Because God said I need to do it, I'm going to do it, and that person deserves, or maybe doesn't deserve, but because God told me to do it, I'm going to do it, and you just forgive. That's the way Joseph operated. That's the way that he was able to be a blessing to his family, and he was able to, quote-unquote, feed his family. He forgave them. We notice in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 11, we find here that Joseph brings up his father and then bestows great honor upon his father. Again, this is another way that you and I can bless the people that are closest to us. Give them honor. You know, the Word of God says very clearly, and I found when I was a teenager, it's very hard to do. Children, obey your parents. Boy, isn't that a hard thing to do? Maybe it's easy for you, but it was a difficult thing for me to do. How about this one? Honor your mother and father. Boy, that's something else. Because it's one thing to do what they ask me to do, but it's another thing to have the right attitude and honor and respect that God wants me to have. Well, that's a whole nother level. You know, but at the same time, understand this. That you have some parents who would much rather you bless them with honor and obedience much more than they would ever wish for you to give them $100. I'm looking at some people here tonight that your parents go to bed with heavy hearts because of things that you've said to them, because attitudes that you've displayed. Really, all it is obedience to God's words. But I'm telling you this, you can be a conduit of the forgiveness God has given you, a conduit of the blessing that He has given you, and all it takes is just some simple obedience that starts with honor and obedience. Joseph fed his heart, but he started also with his family, those who were around him. He forgave them, he honored them, and he did things for them. Notice you, and just quickly finishing up here, feed your heart, feed your family, those closest to you. And chapter 47, everybody turn over there real quick. We don't have time to read lengthy passages of Scripture here, but I just want you to see a couple things. Genesis chapter 47. 47, look at verse 13. Verse 13, notice what it says. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, the corn which they brought. Joseph brought the money into the Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, give your cattle, I will give to you for your cattle, if any money. And they brought Joseph their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with the bread for all their cattle for that year. And it goes on, and it details how Joseph was not only able to be a blessing to his family, but was also able to be a blessing to his world. And really, that's the third thing. Feed your heart, feed your family. Number three, feed your world. You say, who is in my world? Well, you work out from your family. Maybe it's your school. Maybe it's your youth group. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's employees that you work with. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's people that you see. It could be extended family that you see periodically. This is your world. And the question that you and I should be asking is, how can we be a blessing to them? You know what? Joseph was so resourceful. He was. I mean, he had to be one of the most wise people on the planet. We understand God did that through him. But he's here in a situation that he foresaw the famine that was coming and began to do things in advance so that people could survive. Joseph was resourceful. And I know that tonight I'm looking at some teenagers this evening that are just as resourceful in some areas or in other areas, if not more. You see, God has given us all different gifts. But those gifts are not to better ourselves. Those are always for us to use on the river of blessing to pass on to someone else who needs it desperately. And all I'm asking, and all the Lord is asking me in 2019, is that we have eyes to see the people in our home and to see people in our world that desperately need a blessing. Do you have eyes to see? To be a river of blessing in 2019 like God wants you to be? Do you have the commitment and the discipline to work at being resourceful and coming up with ways in how you can be a blessing to other people? You know, I could sit and I can list off of all of the different ways that you could be a blessing to your parents and you could be a blessing to your community and you could be a blessing. You know, that would take a little while, but you know what? Some of those things maybe don't relate to your situation. But I know the Spirit of God is in every single one of us. And if we ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be a river of blessing to my home and my community? I know that the Lord's going to speak to our hearts. Like I said, the Lord's worked in my heart in regards to this principle. And I think Joseph is one of the greatest examples that we can see in regards to this. And if you look at the passage of Scripture where Joseph talks about the fact that his brothers meant what they did for evil, but God meant it for good. He specifically references the fact that God did all of that so that Joseph, in a leadership position, could save his own family members. Can you imagine? Joseph saw his life as merely a channel, a place that blessing would flow through. Now, in order to do that, we have to be pretty selfless at times. We have to swallow our own pride and say, okay, we're not the most important person in the room. We do need to consider being a blessing to others. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. Question I have for you tonight, are you a collecting point for God's blessing in your life? Are you simply amassing the blessing as God pours it on your life? Are you simply just storing it up for yourself? Or are you a conduit, a channel that God is using in the life of other people? Because the warning that we have in Scripture is this, that if we are simply a collecting point for God's blessing in our life will eventually run out. But the way to preserve God's blessing in your life is to continue to give to others. Maybe tonight it is a monetary gift. Maybe God has put a sum of money on your heart that you need to be a blessing to somebody else who has nothing. Maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's just a spiritual gift that God's given you. It could be a musical gift. Maybe you do well in holding it close to yourself and using it in your own personal way, but maybe God wants you to use that gift in the life of someone else. Whatever it is tonight, I pray that your heart would be to be a river of blessing and not a reservoir. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open the invitation tonight, Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts, Father, that you would impress upon us specific people, Lord, that we commit to be a blessing to before the week is out. And Father, I pray that we would keep that commitment, and Lord, that we would live a life that acts as a channel of blessing. And we'll give you the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen.